This evening we invite you back to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. The book of Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to begin reading the verse number 12, and we'll read verses 12, 13, and 14 like we did this morning. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word once again this evening. Our subject tonight is the same as what it was this morning, finishing the race. Finishing the race. In verses 12 and 13, we see the writer of Hebrews, he had encouraged that of his readers to continue on, to persevere, and to complete the race, not to give up, but to be determined. And he called upon them to commit themselves unto the Lord and unto that of the running of the course. He spoke of that of the problems along the way, that of drooping hands, that of feeble knees, the need to stay in the path, lest one go off the path and find themselves in that of a case which would be worse than that of being on that of the main path. At least there are those on the main path who could assist, whereas going off the path, there would be no one there to assist or to give that of strength. Now, in verse 14, the first thing that you'll notice is that there doesn't appear to be any connection. And what we mean by this is that we don't have a conjunction like we do most of the time as we look at some verses, a passage of Scripture. We don't have a conjunction here, but that doesn't mean that the writer has left that of the theme. It doesn't mean that there's not a connection here between that of verses 14 and that of verses number 12 and 13. You'll note that in verse 13 he says, "And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." And then in verse 14 he says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." Our focus text tonight will be this verse, verse number 14. And you'll note that the first word in the passage is follow. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. The word follow there has the meaning of pursuing. And so once again, we see from that of the passage itself that the writer is continuing on with that of his metaphor of running that of the race, of running in that of the way. And here he calls upon that of the readers as they run that race to follow or to pursue after that of peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, before we get into that of the interpretation of that of the passage itself, there's a few things that I'd like for us to consider about that of our passage. I would first have us consider that of the elements of that of our text. What I mean by the elements of our text is that the text is made up of two clauses. The first clause is a primary clause. If you read the first clause here in the passage, it says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness." Now, We could stop right there, and it would be that of a complete sentence. It would be that of a complete statement. And when we think of that of the primary clauses or statements, they are indeed statements that can stand alone. This could have been a sentence within itself. But you note that it goes on, the writer goes on, and he says, without which no man shall see the Lord. The secondary clause is that of the latter part of verse number 14, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, if I said unto you, without which no man shall see the Lord, and you didn't have any other context, you'd say, what are you talking about? That's the secondary clause. It's important, but it's not that of a complete statement. And yet it is a statement that is subordinate to that of the primary statement. It has something to tell us with regards to that of the primary statement here. So the writer, he says, follow peace with all men and holiness. That's the main focus, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now let's look at some other additional grammar elements of that of the passage. You didn't know you were going to have a grammar lesson tonight. But grammar is important as one considers the scriptures, as one looks at verses. Grammar is important that we might be able to understand, that we might be able to indeed interpret scriptures and understand that of what is being set before us in that of the passage. First of all, in verse 14, the main verb here is follow. And there's some things about that main verb that are indeed important to us as we would consider that of our text. If you remember this morning, as we looked at that of the first two verses, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. We pointed out that the two verbs in verses 12 and 13, that they were also, or that they were, imperative verbs. An imperative verb is a verb that is that of a command. It is a verb that calls to that of urgency, urgent action. A verb is that of the action word in a sentence. And so as we think of that of those two verbs in verses 12 and 13, they called upon us, that they exhorted us to lift up our hands, the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and to make straight paths for your feet. In verse 14, we have the same ideal in that of the word follow. It is calling, it sets before us that of an urgency in that of the action. And there's an intensity here in that of the verb. Follow, as we said, it can be translated pursue after. Follow peace with all men and holiness. Before we look at that of those words, we would also say to you the word follow here, that it has that of an object or objects. And that's what we have in that of the next few words here. Follow peace with all men and holiness. You'll note the word men there is in italics in the KJV, or at least mine is. And so that would indicate to us that the word men is not actually there. That word all can also be translated everyone in that of the Greek. Follow peace with all or with everyone and holiness. The ESV translates this passage, strive for peace with everyone and for holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Strive for peace. Pursue. Follow after peace with all or everyone and holiness. Now, the two objects of that of the verb follow is here, that of peace and holiness. Follow or pursue after that of peace with all or with everyone. Follow after, pursue after holiness. And then you'll note the next part of the verse here. Without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, what is here being referred to? What is it that the writer here is telling us that without, no man shall see the Lord? He says, follow peace with all, and the and is a connective, and that of holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. I believe that it is referring to back to that of the word holiness, that noun there. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Now, having had our grammar lesson, let's dig a little bit deeper into that of the passage. Follow peace. Pursue after that of peace. Now, what does the writer mean by that of peace? What does the writer mean by that of holiness? Let's take the first word, or the first object of that of the verb. It says follow peace. Peace speaks of that of tranquility. It speaks of that of harmony. As we think of peace in that way, as we think of peace in the Scriptures, the Scriptures tell us, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We have peace, and that peace is with God. Whereas in the past, the one who has not by faith believed on Jesus, they are at enmity with God. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through that of our Lord Jesus Christ, through that of what He has done for us. But here, the word peace has to do with all or with everyone. Does that mean all without exception? Hold your place there. Over in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, we have our Lord's Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew chapter 5, and in verse number 9, he says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. They shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they, are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Over in that of Romans chapter 12, if you'll turn there with us. Romans chapter 12. And in verse number 18, Romans 12, verse number 18. Let's back up to verse number 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, the word men here is actually there in the Greek text. Live peaceably with all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. I think of that as the words of Peter as he spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ in 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2. He says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishops of your souls. We don't see Jesus striving with men, do we? We don't see him giving back that which they gave to him. In John chapter 15, and in verse number 18 and 19, he says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. In that of 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul, in writing to Timothy as he closed out his life, or was near the close of his life, in chapter 3, verse 12, he said unto him, if we suffer, we shall... Right verse. It's wrong verse. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. For evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. As we look at the Scriptures, we see from these Scriptures that as God's people, we're going to face, with regards to the world, that of opposition. We're going to experience that of persecution for that of our faith as we would stand up and be counted amongst those who are the followers of Jesus. And as we think of those to whom the writer of Hebrews was writing to, that very thing they were experiencing. They were experiencing that of the opposition of that of the world, and even that of their own families, as they stood up and declared that of their belief in Jesus of Nazareth, that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, and giving up that of the temple, giving up that of the sacrifices. Our Lord said, you're not of the world. The world hated me, they'll hate you also. But does that give us a reason to, so to speak, give back to them what they give to us? No. No, it doesn't. Does it mean that we're to be their walking mat? No, it doesn't. So what does it mean? What was the writer saying to that of these Hebrew believers when he said, follow peace with all men. Pursue peace with all men. Well, as we look at other passages in the Scripture, Paul said, seek to live in peace with all men as much as possible. We shouldn't be the ones that would be the instigators. Now, that doesn't mean that we go as far as not to do what God has called us or commanded us to do. No, beloved, if we are doing what God has called us to do and we endure that of persecution for it, beloved, we ought to praise God and be thankful that we are counted worthy to suffer with Him, like the Apostle Paul said. Pursue peace. Seek to live in peace with all men as much as possible. Realizing, beloved, that the world, that they are at odds with God. They're at enmity with God, and therefore they will be likewise with regards to us when it comes to that of what God has called us and commanded us to do and how that we are to live. But we shouldn't go out looking for a fight. Going back to our text, follow peace with all men and holiness. And holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. The word holiness. What is holiness? What is the writer speaking of when he speaks of holiness here? What does the Scripture have to say about holiness? Well, the Scripture tells us, beloved, that God is holy. The Scripture tells us that God is holy and He cannot look upon that which is sin. Beloved, we as believers in Jesus Christ, through that of His death, His blood being shed, we have that of a holiness in Him, a position of holiness in Him. And we are holy in Him. We are sanctified in Him. Over in First Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul, in writing to this church at Corinth, he says, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." What kind of holiness is the writer speaking of here? Is he speaking of that positional holiness that we have as a result of being in Christ? Well, I believe if we look at that of the text and consider that out of what is before us in verse number 14, he says, follow peace with all men. But when we go on, it says, and holiness. That verb, follow or pursue after, doesn't just go with that of peace with all, but it also goes with that of the second object, which is that of holiness. Pursue after holiness. So the holiness that is being spoken of here is something that is being pursued. And the writer of Hebrews is speaking to these Hebrew believers, and he is calling upon them to do this very thing, to pursue after holiness. He's calling them to action. So in light of that, the holiness that is being spoken of here is not that of the holiness as we would think of it, as that holiness which is a positional holiness that we have in that of Christ. We're holy in Christ. But rather, the holiness that is being spoken of here is that of a practical holiness. The ESV the NASB 95 translation translates the word holiness, sanctification. The actual Greek word there. It can be translated sanctification in NASB. It can be translated that of holiness. We have that here in that of our KJV a translation. What is practical holiness? What is practical holiness? Well, there's different ideas. And we've seen this through history. Some, when they think of sanctification, or they speak of sanctification, it has to do with that of, really, boiling it down to that of a set of rules. A set of don'ts or do nots. You don't go to movie house. Ladies, you don't paint your face. You don't do this, you don't do that. Now, as you think about that type of a way of looking at that of holiness, it's having to do with that of the external. Then there is another idea which we would call that of holiness by that of some experience that one has. Speaking in tongues, receiving the second blessing. Which leads to all kinds of different, you know, ideas. Down in the hill country, the mountains, you find different groups, and even to the place of that of people having that of some type of experience in the service where they jump up and down and walk on pews and everything else. The word sanctification, as we go back to that of the Old Testament scriptures, we find that the word sanctification has the idea of something as being set apart. With regards to that of the different pieces of of that of the tabernacle. They were they were made and they were set apart to God. They were devoted to that of His service and His service alone. So, as we think of the word sanctification in the Old Testament scriptures, that of what it pictures that of devotedness. Devotedness to God. It is God's purpose that we as His children, that we be conformed to the image of His Son. That we be like Him. And His purpose will be fulfilled. We shall be like Him. And beloved, it's down here on earth that God is dealing with us and working in us that His purpose might be fulfilled. Paul, when he wrote to the church at Philippi in chapter 3, in verse number 7, he says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." That speaking of that of his pedigree as a Jew, an Israelite. "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, neither was already perfect, but I follow after." Here we have that same word that we have back over in Hebrews chapter 12 in that of our text. Pursue. I follow after. That I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. Nevertheless, wherein do we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same things. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us as an us for an example." Pursue holiness. Follow after holiness. Living, beloved, devoted unto God, to that of His service, seeking to obey that of His commandments. Beloved, seeking to walk as Jesus walked. Walking in those same steps. Paul, in writing to the church at Philippi, he said, "He has begun a good work in you, shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Beloved, that good work of grace that God begins in the heart of the one who He shows His grace to, beloved, He does bring to fruition. And He does so, beloved, by that of the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, and that of his word. No man shall see the Lord without the holiness that the writer here speaks of. And beloved, at the end of the day, when we reach that finish line, we will see Him. We will cross the line and we will be. Not because of anything that we've done in this life, beloved. No. Beloved, we will be holy. We will share in that of His holiness. We will be like Him. The Apostle John, in his first epistle, he said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is." He is. "And every man that has this hope in Him purify himself even as He is pure." If you can go out and live like the world, then you're of the world. There's a difference, beloved, between that of God's children and that of the world. And that difference, beloved, is that the grace of God. The child of God desires to do the will of God. We don't do it perfectly in this world, and we won't do it perfectly in this world. But oh, what a day it will be when we shall be with Him, and we shall see Him, and we shall be like Him. All right, let's have a closing hymn. Let's take our bulletins and just go down. And we'll stand and pick up the W36. I found a friend, oh such a friend, all power to Him is given to guard me on my onward course and bring me safe to heaven. The eternal glories gleam afar to nerve my faint endeavor. So now to watch, to to war, and then to rest forever. I found a friend, oh such a friend, so kind and true and tender, so wise a counselor and guide, so mighty a defender. From Him who loves me now so well, what power my soul can sever? Shall life or death, shall earth or hell, though I am His forever.
Our dearest Heavenly Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee, Lord. Pause to thank Thee and look forward to the day, Lord, that we shall drop this rope into the flesh. Lord, we shall be with Thee, Lord, that we will sit low, Lord, and rejoice in the blessings of Christ, that we might be finally, Lord, rejoice in that day, Lord, all that we have. My dear and loving Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Spirit fill us and use us tonight, Lord. Tonight, I mean, you can pray and ask. Use us, Lord, amongst our families, friends, workplaces, and neighbors. Pray. Use us, Lord. Praise you for all your blessings and will teach everyone of us once again meeting our needs, spiritually, physically, mentally, Lord, we rejoice and thank you for the help in detail. Bless you. Praise you. Let's bring praise to Kathy. Lord, this week, Lord, she goes into the procedure. We pray, Lord, that you will well. We pray, Lord, that you will be the doctor. Because that you will help you. Rich blessings. Thank you, Lord, again for this time to be able to